assume the position, Cooper.
I have.
Excellent.
I just don't know what to say.
Why am I not over there watching you? Because I still have never seen anything go in or out of your butt, for that matter. So
I think that's probably true of most people.
But Cooper, the thing, I want to see something go in your butt. I don't want to put anything in your butt, but I'd like to see it.
I appreciate the clarification.
Well, I guess I could put a toy in your butt if you really wanted me to, but I think that's not it.
The one that apparently has that fantasy situation going on.
Oh my god!
Neither am I. I'm just saying, if it came down to Cooper, if you were bent over in front of me and I could either, die or put a toy in your butt, I would put a toy.
Why are those the options?
Because there's a straw man argument involved.
It's how perfect. Could he possibly get aroused enough to put a butt plug in his ass when we're talking about this? I don't understand how this is going to work.
I'm going
to
shut up.
We need Ginger to start reading erotica.
Yeah, Ginger, be sexy for me.
Be sexy. Oh, boy. I'm Marilyn's there. I have utter faith.
Yeah, she's being sexy also.
I have utter faith in her sexiness and proximity.
I've got a good angle on the cleavage.
Ah, yeah. Lucky you.
Oh, and she's just expanded the amount that I can see.
Excellent. Oh boy, there's nothing like the
Oh, and now she's using her mouth.
Not
to insert the butt plug.
Oh, okay. But
details.
Yes, do not hold any stainless steel toy in your teeth.
Listen,
public
service
announcement from Ginger.
I'm going to be writing a condensed version of this for Reader's Digest, so you need to be verbose right now.
I'm focused. There we go. there we go. Yes, okay, insertion has happened.
Oh, okay. Boy.
You know what this means, Ginger?
What's that?
But the both of the boys have done it, so it's your turn next.
No, you have to. I
nominate you. Although I did start to. Oh,
hello, everybody.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi.
That was fun.
I'll just reiterate my support for any type of.
In my ass?
I support that. I absolutely do.
I appreciate that.
Yes,
this anus is supporting it right now.
Oh, brother.
It's cold, too.
Oh,
still? That's not good.
It's warming up.
Of course.
Yeah. And what I like about this is it's so perfectly shaped. I mean, it's shaped like a spade, almost.
It's one of Boris and Doris's toys,
right? It is one of Boris and Doris's toys.
They start off so cold, but they get so hot by the end.
And so I will say, visit bmdpodcast.com and buy yourself one of these butt plugs or anything else there, because they're all awesome. But because this is one of the only butt plugs of this size, because it is a larger one, to slide right in and then just stay. And that's what I look for in a butt plug.
Welcome to the swing set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion. With a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own Lives on the Swing Set. Thanks for swinging by.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so essential we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So go to adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com.
So we got this question a while ago, and we were going to include it in the voicemail show, but we all felt it might lead to a bit more extensive conversation and thought we'd push it forward to its own show. So tonight on Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we will be talking about what kinks mean to us, what our kinks are, and what being kink supportive, even while squicked out, means. I'm Cooper Beckett, and tonight I have with me...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
A disappointingly unkinky Dylan.
This is Shira B. Katz.
Wait, Dylan, you know, two episodes ago, you talked endlessly about how you want to be dumb. That does qualify as kinky, you know.
I haven't taken any steps to further that.
Well, just because you haven't done it doesn't mean you don't have kink.
All right, I take that back. Hey, everybody, it's Dylan.
I was going to be crestfallen because I thought at one point you had shared that you were seeking that dom woman in your life.
Oh,
so,
hells yes. Definitely. Yeah. 100%. Yes.
And then you just said, oh, well, disappointingly not kinky. And then I was like, like, what changed in the last couple of weeks? That's tragic.
It is tragic.
I know. But apparently it's not true. So
No, absolutely not. I still aspire and want to be, yes.
And now if you hear a difference in the sound of my voice, it's because I'm bottomless on the show for the first time. And because I have a stainless steel butt plug in my ass. So two reasons, really.
Now, bottomless?
Bottomless, yes.
Hmm.
You thinking about it?
Well, yeah. Well, I was also thinking about the balance of that, because I think I remember at one point Shira was topless, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah,
Shira
that is
has
very
podcasted
true.
Topless, yes.
That so, I was topless.
Excellent. Excellent.
That is excellent. Now I'm thinking about that.
Now I'm thinking like fashion plates style, like blast from the past, Shira's top and Cooper's bottom.
I love that you went to fashion plates. Honestly. I love that you went there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I have a little teensy bit of business, and that is to say thank you to our Twitter friend, Techno Geisha, who blew us away with her response to our kinky assignment of finding a dildo that can ejaculate.
Oh my gosh, didn't she though?
She sent us probably 1,500 words on possible leads and where to go and what to find, and has led me to a few options. And I've got calls out to some manufacturers to see what we can get. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the ejaculating dildo search takes us.
The pleasure quest.
The pleasure quest. So thank you, Techno Geisha. You totally rocked it. Now, I believe Dylan has some business.
Yes.
He's just very slow tonight.
You sure I'm not the dummy right now? So I was thinking, and Tonya was thinking. Actually, I was doing a lot of thinking, and then I brought it to Tonya's attention. The steps that we've been taking toward potential polyamory have been mostly us trying to find a girlfriend for us as a couple. While that's a lofty goal and one that I've been pursuing for the last few months, I also kind of felt it was a little bit childish, just because for us to say we're looking for that mythical unicorn to have a relationship with both of us, it seems unlikely that it's going to develop. It's not because we haven't had potential possibilities, or, you know, even a couple setbacks here or there, but because we just, you know, the problem wasn't that Tonya wasn't interested in being polyamorous, or at least giving it a try at one point. It was because I was uncomfortable with part of it. So I was uncomfortable with the idea of Tonya being with another man separate of me. If she was with another woman separate of me, I didn't feel intimidated. And if she was with another woman with me, I didn't feel intimidated. But I did by the idea of her being with another man without me. What I found through quite a bit of self-examination was, and through some talking with Cooper, was that I did feel childish about only wanting this thing, because it felt like I was being a little unfair, saying, you know, oh, okay, it's okay for us to have a girlfriend, but, you know, you can't do the same thing with a guy. Through some discussion, I found that my problem wasn't necessarily with the concept of Tonya being with another man separate from me. It was that my archetype of what that relationship would look like was flawed. The way I saw a relationship developing between me and another woman, solo, but, you know, just me and her, was nice and fun and loving, and we would all still be friends with Tonya, and we'd all see each other, and it wouldn't be like I was hiding something from Tonya, even though it would be consensual. But I wasn't separating, in my head, a potential relationship solo with another woman. I wasn't separating that relationship from the one with Tonya. I wasn't making them mutually exclusive. I wasn't going to not bring her around or not have her meet my family. It was just going to be, I would be in a relationship with this person, but we would all know each other, all be friends, and it would be nice and friendly. My archetype for Tonya being with a man was, I would never see this guy. I may not even know who he is. I wouldn't have a chance to vet him. She would just go and find some random dude that I don't know anything about. And while I trust her judgment, I wouldn't know what was going on, and I'd never hear about it. Well, like everything else in our relationship that does have a lot of communication and a lot of sharing, or that was unlike everything else in our relationship, which has a lot of communication and a lot of sharing. And I realized that my whole idea of what polyamory may develop and look like for us was flawed because I was making a bad assumption. So after I fixed that, which meant, hey, wait a second, Tonya meeting somebody and being with someone separate of me would ideally mean that we were all still friends, and I would see this guy, I would have a chance to vet him and be comfortable with him and be friends with him. He would just have a romantic relationship with Tonya on the side. All of a sudden, almost all of that uncomfortableness left. And so, for a couple weeks, I sat down and I stewed on this and said, you know what, I don't have anyone in particular that I'd like to date separate from Tonya. And I would still love to date a woman with Tonya. In fact, I'd still go as far as saying that's still my number one goal for a dipping my toe into polyamory thing. But after I changed what I thought a relationship with another guy for her would look like, I stopped being uncomfortable with it. And so if the opportunity came up for me to have a relationship with a woman, whether it's because she isn't interested in Tonya or whatever reason, or if Tonya had interest in having a relationship with a guy, as long as we were all on board, as long as we were all talking, and I think as long as we were all friends, and as long as being primary partners with each other, to use polyamory terms, we had a potential, I don't want to call it a veto, but I'm going to call it a veto anyway, on a partner one of us would be uncomfortable with, that things would be okay. So when we're ready, I think we're going to go ahead and open up to these possibilities and go that route.
I think that's awesome, Dylan, that you've really just been with it and thought about things. And on your first, or sort of one of the first things you said, is that idea of, you know, wishing for that unicorn to fit in with you and Tonya, and that being kind of unrealistic or whatever the case may be. I hear what you're saying about that, but I also go to the place where, even though that's kind of the, you know, the dream and what everyone wishes for is that bi woman who fits right in with you and blah, 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 I don't want us to judge that as a desire, because it is what it is. Like, you desire what you desire in terms of the types of, whether it's swinging or poly relationships that you're seeking. And just because it happens to be one other woman, and that's the top of your list, and that's how you visualize your relationship moving in that direction at this point, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There are those women out there. And so
And I would love to find one or two.
Yeah, yeah. So I just don't judge that. I mean, there is something to be said for the fact that if you are looking for a relationship where both you and Tonya are involved and you are involved as three and the sexuality components fit together, that, and I just use Prof and I as an example, it's like, well, I'm bi and he's not. So if you're looking for another person to join the relationship, the logical interest would be a woman. And so just because that's the case, I mean, I don't know, it just gets judged a lot and I feel judged.
No, that's, well, I still want that. I didn't mean to judge it when I said childish. I meant to judge my own feeling about it, because the reason I wanted that wasn't because I didn't want the possibility of being with somebody separate from Tonya. It was because I was uncomfortable with Tonya being with someone else, and right. Therefore I shut down those possibilities for myself.
I
felt childish because I was uncomfortable with something, you know, because I'm not going to date a woman separately of Tonya if I'm not willing to let her do the same thing with another man or woman.
Totally.
Yeah.
Which is
awesome. I personally felt childish because of that. I didn't mean to call the idea of wanting a bi female for both of us childish, because that would still be wonderful.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, Dylan. Because, you know, Gavin went through this same process.
Oh, how so?
Well, you know, when we first started dating, I was already polyamorous and I was trying very hard to be with yet another monogamous boy, trying to convert them. initially, the rule was that I would only date other women. And through that process of me being more than happy to comply with that, to make him comfortable and knowing that there was room for growth in the future, you know, I was able to show him that the world did not melt when I was dating women, and he got more comfortable, and he soon also felt really absurd, you know, taking the privilege of being able to date other women or people of opposite gender while I could not. So it's a common thing, and I'm happy that you hit that point.
And hey, there's still a possibility that we'll end up trying this and it won't work at all, and then we'll be back to just being normal swingers. And I will never, ever, ever give up my right to go to a club and have nice, hot, anonymous sex with other swingers.
Well, you own that.
And as swinger president candidate, I will never, ever take those rights away from you.
You'll fight for their rights.
I will fight for that right.
To have anonymous sex, right.
Anonymous hot sex.
So, Dylan, we've got a voicemail queued up. Am I right? Okay, let's give that a listen.
Okay, only if you wiggle your butt a little bit.
Well, I'm wiggling.
So I see that Cooper was looking for things that we want to know about you guys. And my question is, what are your kinks? Talk about the outside-of-the-box kinks, not just your normal, every once in a while I like to get my bottom spanked kinks. Thanks. Bye.
Our outside-of-the-box kinks. That's hot.
I like to go both inside the box and outside the box.
I do personally. As well. Yeah. Agreed.
I do.
I agree. Yeah, totally.
And now we all have to give Shira a round of applause for
Why?
Sucking it up, because I know you were nervous about this one.
I'm clapping. I'm clapping.
I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I'll be fine.
Oh, good, good. I knew you'd be fine, because you're always fine and fine.
Ooh.
Damn. Like
Thank you. Thank you. No, I'll be just fine.
Oh, I see how it is. Dylan, you can hit on Shira all you want.
Now?
But I hit on her, and you get all... even while she's exposing herself.
Wow. Right.
I see how it is. Okay.
Oh, there's room for us all.
So, who wants to go first with what their kinks are?
Oh, boy.
I mean, I think we all know that I have a putting things in my butt kink.
Should we do a round robin first?
Sure.
And then, like, you know, everybody says the short ones first, like the quick ones, and the ones that need more elaboration, we can spend more time on those.
Perfect.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, oh, I cut you off, Coop. Sorry.
I like to put things in my butt and have them attached to people sometimes.
That's a pretty good one.
That is a good one.
That is a good one.
I like to put things in boys' bottoms.
So, see, we go together right there.
Yeah, we're
simpatico.
Like Russian dolls.
Nesting dolls, excellent.
Symbiotic.
Yes, so I like to put things in boys' bottoms, and I think that I'm submissive.
Ooh.
So I like to receive small amounts of pain.
Small amounts of pain, okay. And this is a newer thing.
Oh, that's
thing
like three
for
different
you.
Things.
Yeah, she just hit it.
That's newer, but I have more exciting kinks to talk about later.
I think promise. Also she wanted us to just go right past them, so she threw them out, and then
those are the ones I've already talked about many times, and I don't want the listeners to get tired of me talking about
your
fucking
kinks
guys
are
in the
so
ass,
so boring, Shira.
I know.
Are just, they're people
rather
are
tiresome.
Just they're over it. They don't want to hear about your kinks anymore.
Yes, precisely.
No, seriously, people. Yet again, people panting to hear about it.
Yes.
Your turn. Your quick kinks.
Me? Yeah. Quick? Oh, boy.
You haven't been thinking of them while we're talking?
No, I haven't. I'm pegging.
Excellent.
Yes.
So, again, pegging. Someone wanting to put stuff in butts. Excellent.
I've personally witnessed that, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. Pegging. Definitely pain play is much fun. And, oh gosh, like I'm trying to think of the quick ones. I guess they'll come to me. Dylan.
Oh, this isn't good.
I thought of one more.
Okay, good.
Oh, good. Just, okay.
Hey, why don't you go one more while Dylan's thinking?
Okay. I have a just kind of a general fetish for male on male erotic action. Kissing.
Ooh.
Fucking.
Oh, that's right.
Sucking. It's all good stuff. Okay, Dylan, your turn.
I don't think I have anything that really qualifies as a kink yet.
Well, I will tell you what your kinks are.
Okay.
You have an obsession with seeing male-on-male activity because you have an obsession with maybe wishing you were bi. And I consider that kinky.
Okay.
So that's a good one.
Okay.
And you do want to be a dom. And that's kinky.
I do.
So there you go. There's two. Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it all started when I first had somebody bent over and she told me to pull her hair and then keep pulling and then keep pulling and keep pulling and then put my hand around her throat. That was quite a surprise.
Yeah, I remember the first one of those I had. It was very interesting because up until then, Marilyn had played very loose with the she wants me to dom her thing. And so I hadn't had a lot of experience with someone saying, no, do it. You need to pull it harder. No. Which I don't know if that's dom or sub, really, when you think about it. Which is that? Demanding you have your hair pulled? It's a submissive position, but it's a dominant action.
It's bottoming, or it's topping from the bottom.
It is. So
yeah,
but it was a very interesting experience because you get to that moment where it's like, oh, that doesn't hurt. Well, let me show you. Because and it's like, no, harder. Okay. No, harder. Okay. And you're still trying to be nice about it. And then you finally get frustrated because apparently you're not good enough at this. And you start yanking harder than you ever thought you should yank someone's hair. And that's what does it.
Well, some of it's the intent behind it, though, too.
Indeed.
Yeah, there's a very excellent way to pull hair. There is.
I can hear that sound in your voice, too.
I know. You're going to hear it all episode because Prof is not in town and we're going to be talking kinks for quite a while. And
I'm new at this, but I found when pulling hair, instead of just grabbing a wad and pulling, which can end in tears and not the good kind, I've been able to kind of take it and turn my hand around with it and have it in my palm so that I'm almost wrapping it up into you know, kind of like if you're grabbing a rope and you tie it around your hand. With someone with long hair, I kind of do the same thing, and then I make sure I'm pulling from a position of strength, and instead of doing a yank, I pull with steady pressure.
Yes. Okay.
And then constantly, and then slowly ratchet it up a little more, and maybe a little jerk here or there, or letting up a little bit, and then turning it back up a little bit. I found that works really nice.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Excellent,
yes. I like the open fingers running up the nape of your neck and up your scalp, and then just closing.
Mm.
So that's lovely. And then you pretty much have complete control of that person's head if you do that.
And it's weird too, because, you know, I spent most of my adult life working against the stereotype of men where they hold the girls down when they're giving a blowjob. So much so that when I put my hand on a girl's head, it's often hovering just slightly above her head. And so when I get the playmate who wants to be pushed, it's like actively working against my programming. And it's actively working against the programming that was, in the first place, actively working against the programming.
Right.
So it's a very unusual situation.
Indeed. So I just had something else occur to me.
Okay.
The smell of leather.
You like that?
I like that a lot. Because we have a number of implements, a number meaning a lot, of leather implements that when I walk into the room and they've been laid out, it's like I can smell it. And so I have a response to the smell of leather, and it's pretty awesome. And so just itself, it can be really hot. So just the smell of leather. So it doesn't even have to then go into playing with floggers or the crop or the, you know, anything. Just the smell of leather.
Very sexy.
That is. That's a. Does that qualify as a kink, or I don't know?
We gotta look at what we consider kinky.
You know? Right. Okay.
And I mean, I think all of what we're doing is slightly kinky. Having multiple partners at the same time that know about each other, I think, is somewhat kinky. But I know she was looking for outside the box kinks. And that's a very inside the box for swingers kink.
I wish I had one of those.
You wish you had one of what?
Well, for someone who talks about kinky stuff as much as you do, like your rant about the furries.
You're giving me this cred that I don't think I've had a rant about furries, but the thing is, I don't aspire to be a furry. I don't want to wear a tail.
No, but you do seem to have a lot of interest in the kinky things, which, even if you don't want to do them, is still kinky.
Okay. I would love to be in a room filled with kinky people doing kinky things. Seriously. Ooh. I would love to go to a dungeon.
That's a voyeur. Oh, God, that's kinky?
Yeah, absolutely.
Total voyeur.
Okay.
You sound disappointed.
No, I just didn't think of it that way. I never thought straight up voyeurism, which to me seems like a pretty standard thing, would qualify as a kink in itself.
So, Dylan, you don't think it would be kinky if I came over with my black rope and tied you up and tied you to a chair and made you watch people have really kinky sex? Is that not kinky enough for you?
Oh, God, yes, it is.
I imagine the also, if you did it, beginning to that sentence.
What's that?
I also imagined him adding, if you did it, Ginger.
Well, that's what I said. Yes. I would do it. Didn't I say that?
No, you did say that. But I think that also added to the experience, you see.
Well, I should hope so. If it didn't, I'm doing it wrong.
You're not doing anything wrong.
Okay, good. Shira's quiet.
She's thinking about a kink.
Well, no, I was thinking about what Dylan was saying. I was thinking about what Dylan was saying, and that he doesn't know that he has any kinks or anything that's outside the box. And it made me wonder about the difference between a fetish and kinkiness.
Mm. Right, right.
And so I'm sitting here wondering if there's some language that should be dissected before going further into the topic.
Well, I think when we were first having these discussions about fetishes and kinks, because we've had some discussion about them, I pointed out that fetishes traditionally were things that you cannot live without or cannot come without. Right. And so they were actual detriments to your life because you could not manage a regular orgasm. You could not do anything sexual without having these very specific circumstances. So therefore it was a negative thing. And I pointed out that I think fetish has become what kink used to be. You know, it's sort of kink has slid down to, housewives having normal sex could be considered kinky now. Right. And fetish has filled the gap that kink left behind.
Yeah. So Coop, what you're getting at is the past use of fetish was that it was necessary for the person to get off. And in fact, the way we're using fetish is just something that's unique to us, perhaps, mm-hmm. that gets us off a little bit extra.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say kink probably shares that exact same space. It's not something that's needed, but it's something you like.
But I do think that there are people who are kinky to the core.
Oh, yeah.
Kinky to that it's not so much that it's necessary for them to get off as much as it just feels like a part of their identity.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's how I define the difference between my fetishes and my kinks, because I have lots of both. And so for me, the fetishes are things like... that leather smell to me is kind of more along the lines of a fetish, whereas the kink aspect is how I like to relate during sex, whether it's as a dom or a sub, and that I feel like that is part of my identity, whereas I don't necessarily feel like, the leather or the pegging is as much a part of my identity as it is something that I just really enjoy doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I've been in a really exploratory phase lately.
Yay.
Which has been pretty great. And I think the only really outside of the box thing that I've been exploring lately is along the lines of what I've heard called resistance play, which sounds probably a lot more hardcore than whatever I imagine. So resistance play is, kind of a dominance and submission. I feel funny talking about this because I'm so new to it. It's kind of like a DS thing. However, the sub fights back a little bit.
Yes.
Which is fun. And it doesn't have to be so hardcore. It can be just kind of playful. Like imagine wrestling around in bed with your husband and, he's trying to pin you down and tickle you. And then suddenly things take like a really sexy turn. That has been a very interesting thing for me lately. I like the idea of even something really light there where you're just wrestling around and having fun and trying to pin each other down and playing, all the way up to the thought where maybe it is a little bit more intense on the DS side and maybe someone's trying to tie you down and you're trying to get away. And it's just fun. And it feels like an actual physical challenge and an actual mental challenge. And, I'm competitive, so it's kind of hot.
I can relate to that, Shira. I can relate to that one very much. That's
I think
hot.
I need to find the Amazonian woman of my dreams to get into that with me and actually be able to physically pin me down and hate funk me. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the hate fucking for myself. I could totally see what you're saying.
I like hate funking, honestly.
Funking. Fuck. That's a good band name.
That's when you're walking down the street smug, and when you walk into a beat, but instead of having that big smile,
Okay.
Hate fucking.
Hate fucking. No, but I,
we're not
I
making
like
fun
idea.
Of you. I just think that's delightful. Hate fucking.
And I think part of the reason why the resistance thing is works so well for me is because I'm really tall and I'm pretty strong. So I'm an actual challenge, and it feels good. I guess.
Very nice.
No, I feel silly. Okay.
Well, we're going to take a break on that one.
Awesome.
But no, you
Perfect.
Shouldn't feel silly. But we'll give you the break to recompose.
To stop blushing.
Yeah. So you're listening to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. We're talking about kinks tonight, and we will be right back.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse, if you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. In the sex swing. And, even better.
We're going to be doing fun party-type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating thing. We're going to have a pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So, Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com. Or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel and we'll see you there.
Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. Tonight we are talking about kinks, what we find kinky, what we consider kinky, and what kinks we actually have, and getting a little embarrassed. Some of us by our kinks.
Well, always. So come on, someone else, out with it.
Well, I have the weird. I don't know if I would consider this a fetish. I have the fetish of comfort. You know, have you seen the full body pajamas that are the new wave from the next wave beyond Snuggie?
Oh no,
which is full body pajamas, no.
like footsie pajamas,
yeah. And they have, now this is the best part. See, this is why I think they were built for people like me, is the zipper on the front unzips both ways. So there's a zipper on the bottom that comes up and a zipper on the top that comes down. And a flap in the back. Okay, so my thing... And Ginger and I have dissected this in the past.
Yes, we have.
It's not about anything that the pajamas represent. It's not like I want to go back to childhood and hit that. It is about having a naked person in something very soft. So I'm totally getting off on the idea that there's fleece on the outside and I know there's naked on the inside. I love that. You know, and yeah. And
Gavin, go ahead.
Well, and Ginger and I have talked about this too, because I will admit to having a slight mascot thing. But it's not that I want to have sex with someone in a mascot costume.
What do you mean? What is it then?
It's that I want to have sex with the person who's in the mascot costume. I want them to come out of the mascot costume. And then we'll have some sex. But I don't want to have sex with them while wearing the mascot costume, because I find that weird. Now, you can enjoy that paradoxical kink.
Maybe it's because it's like a surprise, like you don't know what's in there.
And I think it also has to do with the people in those mascot costumes are generally wearing tights. And I have a tights thing.
Oh, you have a stocking thing?
Specifically tights. I don't really enjoy, you know, like fancier stuff as much. I have my best summary for my total ideal kink package would be Willow Rosenberg season 2-3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, tights, gym shoes, skirt, sweater, red hair. I mean, that's really the whole package right there. Whole package. Yeah. So, and I actually got someone to do that for me one time, and it was awesome.
Oh, I love that.
It was really cool.
Put that out there.
She came over wearing tights, gym shoes, skirt, and a geeky t-shirt. Really, that was best day ever. Best day ever. And that one I can trace. See, I'm very aware of my kinks. I can trace that to wanting to fuck those girls in high school and just being fucking shy.
Ah.
And so I never said anything to those girls in high school.
Ah.
And I think that also leads to my interest in girls wearing, I would call it high school lazy, which is the school sweatshirt. And the fleece or plaid pajama pants. Maybe a scrunchie in the hair. I'm really stuck in 1995, I think. So there, Shira, is a whole mess of Cooper fetish / kink all there for you.
I kind of like the idea of the comfort one.
Yeah.
Gavin in particular is always trying to get me to buy those. What are they? The velveteen, like, track suits?
Oh, yeah,
the,
yeah. Like a velour. He wants velour. That, clad from head to toe in velour.
Yeah, I could totally get into it. Really bad.
Yeah.
And I've yet to do it.
I'm going to send him a message that when he gets that, he needs to take a picture for me. Because you know what's really sexy? You unzip that about halfway. And you got the cleavage under there? That's fantastic.
Yeah. I just would feel like so much of a soccer mom.
Well, soccer moms are hot.
There you go.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So on the apparel angle of fetish, oh my gosh, tie in a suit coat. Forget it. So hot. And if you're in an airport, even better. Man, there is something, like, my mouth waters. Like, it's so naughty.
Really? Really?
But, yeah. So, a suit and tie.
Skin-tight black latex.
Skin-tight black latex?
Skin-tight black latex. Uh-huh.
Is that a thing for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, there's a kink.
All right.
Oh, that's hot.
See, so Dylan just didn't know he had kinks.
With boobs just bursting out of there. Either being held in there extremely tight, and then you can just zip right down, and then they basically just pop right out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So whether it's whatever is binding it in, just, yeah, being able to remove it, and then they're just bursting out, and then you fuck them when they're bursting out there. Yeah.
Yum. Mm-hmm.
Jock straps.
Oh, like my every gosh. Time. I can concur with that. Although, whenever I say that, Prof's like, you're such a gay man. And I'm like, well, you know, what am I going to do?
You know, I kind of feel like one myself. So maybe that's part of it.
I know. I feel like we can commiserate on that one.
So here's... you have a way to go? Well,
No, I do. I was going to take it to location. And this one, I'm almost hesitant to say it out loud.
Hey, I just admitted a whole shitload.
Oh, no, no. It's not embarrassment. It's obviousness.
Okay.
Okay. Sex in a library.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I totally get into that.
That's adorable.
I know. Am I so, so just, I'm so predictable. I can't help it. The smell of the books. Who's laughing at me?
I'm laughing with you. Obvious kinks don't make them any less awesome.
Okay. The smell of the books and the whole, like, yeah.
That is super hot.
I mean, that goes in with your intelligence / geek fetish.
Oh my gosh, I know, but it's just like, you know, put all these together and you've got a man in a suit in a library. It's like, yawn.
Now, if you could only put that library in an airport.
Oh no.
But you're more likely to get strung up by the air marshals in an airport, so you don't want to go there.
Oh, that's another one.
Air marshals?
Uniforms.
Oh, uniforms.
Authority figures.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, firemen. Yes.
Yeah, I don't have the
really
firemen.
Really boring ones, but yeah, firemen. It does it. I can't quite explain it. Also, guys with accents, pretty fucking good.
I'll go with girls with
girls,
accents.
Girls with accents, too, actually.
Okay.
Particularly British accents are amazing. I will let people get away with a lot of bullshit. If they have a good accent.
There are some specific foxy British ladies that were in Desire last year who, man, that was just, whew, just don't even need to do anything. Just talk to me.
Yep.
About anything.
Much.
I don't care.
Am I allowed to out prof?
Well, that's really about your rules as a couple.
All right. So he's shared this before. I don't know how many people he's shared this with, but I know he's comfortable sharing it because it makes him smile. But he has a language thing, and it's not just an accent. It's we kind of have a communication barrier, but we've gotten to consent and it's all good. And that's all he needs. So he's got that kind of language thing going on.
Ooh, that's sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's big into that one. Which is fun because, you know, as much as I try to accommodate, I sadly don't speak another language. And if I Rosetta Stone it will only be so I can accommodate his fantasy.
He won't take a made up language. Can you do the Spanish sounding words?
That never goes well.
No. But no. Probably because I can hear what that does to you. And I bet that's exactly where you go. You start saying stuff, and then you just start giggling. And really, it's hard to take you seriously as someone who actually speaks the language when all you do is giggle.
That's true, unless you're speaking giggle.
Whereas I have a fetish for people giggling, so...
No, stop it.
Maybe it's just you. Maybe I just have a kink for you. I think that's it.
Oh, that's hot.
I think I'm going to go on record and saying that Ginger is high on my kinks list.
Ooh, that is very hot.
I'm glad you think so.
Yeah.
And Dylan didn't even sigh. So that's awesome. There he is. I thought maybe he dropped off the call.
Oh, that's fun.
At the beginning of the show, before the last one, we were making fun of Dylan because he got all squicked out by giant dragon cocks.
Oh yeah,
bad-dragon.com, and bad-dragon.com. At Bad Dragon, they make high quality silicone dildos that can have cum holes and cum tubes in them, which is why I discovered them. But these dildos are very specific. They are themed dildos, and they are meant for the more adventurous animal communities in general, it would seem. So much so that when you order one, you have to choose a species that you are. So we were making fun of Dylan because he got on this website and started freaking out at the drawings of dragons with gigantic, throbbing, coming erections.
Come on, wouldn't you be disturbed by that?
Well, I saw it, and it was surprising. I wasn't disturbed, I would say, but I get the squicked out figure, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about being sex positive and kink positive, but still giving ourselves the right and privilege to be squicked out by things. Because just because you want to be positive and be inclusive and be open does not mean that when someone comes up to you and says, here's what I like to do and here's how I like to do it, you're always going to be able to say, hey, awesome, right on. Sometimes you might be like, oh, wow, okay, that's weird, but you don't want to say that. And yeah. I've encountered this problem with myself in certain extreme, the best example was at Desire. A few of the ladies really liked to be beat on. And one of them had a ring of bruises around her neck that I felt made it look like she'd been horribly abused. And I have to own that that's just my perception of this, that I know that she enjoyed it and wanted it and loved it and is wearing it as a badge of honor, and awesome for her that she found that point in her life, that she found that thing that does it for her. But at the same time, I instantly look at that and go, whoa, wow. So how do we feel about being squicked out by things?
I always feel really guilty about it, honestly. I don't know. I feel like there's some lingering judgy person living inside of me. I get like the hardcore furries, you know, the ones who use litter boxes and such. I just can't get behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're wonderful people. I just can't do it.
Well, let's be fair. You don't know they're wonderful people. You're inferring it because of your guilt.
Okay, there you go.
See, that's the other thing we do.
Wonderful people.
Is we sort of overcompensate with acceptance sometimes.
That makes sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we see something that disturbs us, and so we go against it and say, well, that's their thing. And then we go further because we want to be positive, and we say, well, that's, you know, that's their thing, and they have every right to have it. And then we almost go to the place, you know, I want to fight specifically for their right to do that. Without actually, you know, I have a problem with blood play, because I think that's incredibly dangerous.
Have you ever seen it?
I have, and I was horrified.
With the suction cups and stuff, you seen that?
No, cutting blood play.
Oh.
And it just, you know, I grew up in the 90s, and I grew up in a writing community where a lot of my female friends cut themselves, and it was horrifying then, and I still find it horrifying now, but I'll be supportive, but still a little horrified.
I don't think cutting is a kink.
You don't think cutting in sex play is a kink?
Blood. Okay, there's cutting.
No, see, and then... but I put them together. I've seen people cut because they're miserable or they want attention or they're suicidal. And then I've seen people cut because they like it and they get turned on by it. And I have a hard time separating those two things. And that's my thing.
Right.
And I own that, and that's fine.
That's where I go is, and I always go, when I find something that puts me in a mental space where I'm like, whoa, wow. And I realize that their turn on is the same as my turn on, but it's over different things.
Mm-hmm.
And so going to that place of our turn on is the same, And you have every right to not be a part of whatever it is that squicks you out. Like, you move on. You're not a part of it. You don't watch. You don't, you just know it exists. But realizing that that turn on is the same, I guess, is where I go when I think of practices that don't quite do it for me. That it's the same, that we're the same with our turn-ons. And
sure.
if it's, you know, Snuggies or whatever.
Oh, I see. You're going to throw that back in my face.
No, I'm not. But I'm just saying, like, someone who, you know, I picture, like, you know, meeting a person on the street who's all into blood play, and they look at you sideways like, Snuggies? I don't quite get it. And you're like, hey, it's all good.
And
you
just
shake hands and you move on. Just so, and you everyone, go to your Snuggy place.
Just so everyone knows, I don't have a Snuggy fetish. It's the forever lazy.
Come on, Cooper. You don't mean you don't want to swim through a sea of fabric in order to get to the pleasure holes?
Well, I think Snuggies would sort of prevent you from getting anywhere because they are just like a blanket.
So the fact that you know the difference between a forever lazy and a Snuggie further proves my point.
Hey, I will call foul on that one because I know you know what a Snuggie is. And I also know you know what this forever lazy thing is because I specifically sent it to you when I discovered
it. Yes, you did.
So,
yes, you did.
So you go ahead and play all high and mighty there, Ginger. But you know the same things.
No, I hear you, but
and I'm bringing still one next time I see you to for you.
And I told you I would wear it.
I know
it.
You did because you're awesome.
And I'd be all into that.
I'm just gonna
see,
sit
maybe
and think about that for a little while.
Okay, maybe that's a fetish too, and
being totally into what someone else's interests are?
What someone else is into.
Oh, I think so, too.
That's being that person. Yeah, I was going to say, Shira, that's you, isn't it?
It's the chameleon thing. It's you can inhabit someone else's kink, and that is a turn-on.
I like to be desired. I think that's what it is. I really like people who are super hot for me, and if I'm able to do something that makes them super hot for me, it makes me feel really good, and that really turns me on.
Cool.
I think a huge portion of our listenership desires you, Shira. Just personally, I think so.
Oh, you're very kind.
No, our listeners are very kind.
Yes. I'm just pointing it out.
You're very kind to pretend that all the listeners...
Oh, brother.
He's
no,
very kind
but...
to convey that all the listeners...
But truly. Hey, Ginger.
Yes, dear?
Do you think the whole sapiosexual thing could be considered a kink? Because it's very strong.
I would say...
Now, let's define that for the listeners who don't know what that is.
Or Dylan, even though after hearing it...
Let's define that for Dylan, because he hasn't been paying attention.
God, that was... I'm still embarrassed about that. Way more than you'll ever be embarrassed about pronunciation issues, Shira.
What are you embarrassed about?
Well, we talked about sapiosexual before, and you guys defined it for me.
Yeah, then
I asked what it was right after that.
That's right.
Wow, yeah.
Now, but before the end of the show, he will likely ask again, so prepare a short answer, too.
So
what's this sapiosexual thing?
So sapiosexual is just being turned on by intelligence, being turned on by someone's intelligence. Like, it's that simple.
Yes. But it's like to the point where it defies logic for me. If someone is brilliant or genius of any sort, I can know that I'm in a bad situation or that I'm doing something really dumb. But for some reason, like, smart people get me so hot that I'll let a lot fly.
Oh, yeah. And I will tell you, this is a full disclosure confession right here, right now, that all of my hottie man crushes are because of my sapiosexual thing going on. Like, they are, like, seriously, you know, it's my intellectual foreplay thing. It's we just sit in a coffee shop and we talk about completely unrelated things, like embarrassing things.
Yes.
I'm not embarrassed about my leather fetish, but somehow the fact that, you know, quantum physics can just send me over. Yes. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And it is.
She does get all hot when we start talking meteor showers and astronomy stuff. It's really cool. Because I get to geek out about various astronomical events or NASA-related stuff, and she just gets all, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah.
You know,
that's so true.
The worst is, Ginger, is that I've had it called out on me before I ever understood, like, what was going on.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a meeting with my boss, and we had a new employee, and the new employee was being very brilliant and smart and had wonderful ideas. And the new guy left, and my boss looked at me, and he's like, you are totally hot for nerds. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you are all about that guy, and that's not the only time I've seen this happen. I'm like,
oh, my gosh.
Huh, I guess so. So, yeah, I'm obvious.
That's,
that's a big one.
It is a big one. And I don't know if you've found this, and I'm speaking mostly about men, but I've had this experience with women too. One in particular who, brilliant. Like, you just sit there and you're just like, oh my gosh, listening, and it's so hot. But particularly with men, it's so incongruent for them that it's hot for you. Like, they're talking about this stuff and you're just like, you're so hot and you're so into it and you're so like getting turned on and getting all animated in the conversation. And they're just talking about their stuff. Like, they're not really turned on. And so you're like, oh yeah, that's just me. But then of course, once they realize that it turns you on, then there becomes a whole, you know, reciprocal erotic exchange there. But it does make me laugh when the guys will like wicked geek out and then they realize, oh, she's, that is turning her on. Oh, here, let me send you that website. Ooh, here, let me. And I'm like, oh boy. Yeah.
I'm so happy to know you, Ginger. I'm so happy not to be the only one.
I feel so accepted in our fetish. It makes me happy. Or kink, or whatever we've decided that it is.
And it's great because us geeks and nerds didn't always get the awesome stuff that our, let's say, somewhat less intelligent brethren did. So hearing you two amazing ladies talk about how sexy geeks and nerds are, that is amazing.
Mm-hmm. It makes me happy.
It makes a lot of people happy.
Yes, yes.
So, Ms. CC, I hope we gave you some things to think about as to what we are into over here at the Swing Set. No matter how odd my kinks may be.
Oh my gosh, I feel so exposed, but in a sexy, hot, erotic sort of way.
Well, sometimes exposing yourself is sexy too.
Well, there you go. I just want to thank everyone who has listened and then proceeded on to iTunes to review the show. It really is fantastic, and people have put a lot of thought into the feedback, and every bit of that is taken seriously, and it really does feed the direction of the show.
Absolutely.
And it also provides other people who might be listeners context for what they can expect when they download Life on the Swing Set. And as we get more reviews, we get more people who see those reviews, and we get more people who will then download the show, which I think is pretty fantastic. So keep those reviews coming if you get the chance to log on at the computer and put some words together and inform other listeners about what they can expect and what you've appreciated about the show. And just thanks again. It's really fantastic.
And to those who might be concerned, because I know this is a concern, you can submit an anonymous review. You can put whatever name you want on it. You do have to be logged into your iTunes account, but you can submit a review with a different name. So
that's awesome.
You don't have to worry about will this review be attached to the same name as, let's say, your downloads of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
What I'd really like to do is accidentally review Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me as if I'm reviewing Life on the Swing Set.
I would like that, too. That would be fascinating. So, yes, thank you, listeners, very much for everything you do, for all your comments, for all your questions. And it's uber appreciated over here at the Swing Set.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So with that in mind, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us all on Twitter at swingsetlife, at Ginger and the Prof, at Shira B. Katz, and at Dylan_swingset. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. You can give us a call or leave us a voicemail or send us a text. 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. And now talk amongst yourselves, because I am going to pull out this butt plug.
Ooh. We so, come full circle.
How's the weather this over there in San Francisco? Ooh.
I will again say thank you to our friends over at bndpodcast.com, Boris and Doris, who not only have a great podcast, but Boris handcrafts some truly amazing stainless steel sex toys. So if you are in the market for anything, they are definitely on the same quality level as Enjoy, which is the true god in the stainless steel sex toys department. So thank you all for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for swinging by. I hear a cat.
Yeah, you mean,
is that one of your dom cats, Ginger?
No, one of mine.
It's one of Dylan's dom cats.
Dylan's dom.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. If you want to put a picture on your page, you know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com. So I want to talk about something that's a little switching gears here. At the beginning of our last show, we were talking, not our last show, at the beginning of the show two episodes ago, where we kind of got diverted and spent a whole long time talking about being dom and sub, we were, actually, let me start that again. It was the beginning of the last show. No, two shows ago. Son of a bitch. Okay. Okay, so now you guys want the play-by-play, or what are you looking for here?
Oh, yes, yes. Give us a play-by-play. That's right.
How about the two girls who wanted the play-by-play answer? Play-by-play.
Every little intimate detail, every little tweak, every little...
Wow, front, okay.
Everything, dude.
Okay, well, right now I'm like handing the butt plug from Boris and Doris to Marilyn, who's our special assistant here tonight. It's not the big one. No, it's normal size, but it is stainless steel.
Aw. Cooper,
why are you disappointed in Boris and Doris' butt plug here?
No, because I want you to insert the very large one.
Well, I'm not going to do that right now.
That's too bad.
Okay. let's start over so we're not being disparaging about Boris and Doris's butt plug.
I'll cut that out. We're fine. Trust me, it's cool. It's cool.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I got this, bro.
Oh, you do? Do you?
Pretend I'm giving you a bro fist while you can
explain. Okay, so you'll notice I'm a little quieter and further away from the microphone.
Nope, not acceptable. Eat the microphone.
I'm doing this because I'm getting in position.
Oh. Assume the position, Cooper.
I have.
Excellent.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.